What we need right now is hope. Because of that, here at Sharing the Light, we've chosen to bring out one of our most requested vintage series, I Hope So, from Pastor Alan Wright.
But I find it to be the case that so often when life gets its most difficult is when I get most tempted to try to operate out of the strength of my own flesh. But it's at the very times where life has its greatest challenges that I most need to live out of the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit. And there's just, anyone who's ever walked with Jesus knows there's a difference.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright. Welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Daniel Britt, eager for you to hear Alan's message in a series called I Hope So, taken from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If you want to know more about I Hope So, listen up next here on Sharing the Light. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. And stay with us at the end of today's broadcast for a special offer to help you in your spiritual life. Here now with today's teaching is Alan Wright.
Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. It was all part of a magnificent plan, which no one, not even the angels, had fully comprehended. By God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And he goes on preaching at verse 32, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and here. What Peter is realizing is that the obedient Jesus Christ has kept the covenant that no one could keep, and that therefore the Father is fully authorized, legally sanctioned by his own justice to pour out the Holy Spirit upon the one who has kept the covenant. And what Jesus has done as he has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, verse 36, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent, which literally meant change your mind. Change your whole way of thinking about your relationship with God. It will never be the same. It's time to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. To be baptized is the symbol wherein we are united with Christ in his death and resurrection. That's what we're expressing. Change your way of thinking about your relationship with God and let your life be fully identified with that of Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. Be fully identified and incorporated and engrafted into Christ and Christ in you. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so began the church of Jesus Christ on the earth. The reason I show you all of this is that not only is it perplexing that Paul speaks in Romans 5, 6, 7, hardly mentioning the Holy Spirit, and then can't stop extolling the beauty of the Holy Spirit life in Romans 8. But it's also interesting to me that at Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit is being poured out, that Peter stands up and preaches a sermon not about the Holy Spirit, but about Jesus Christ. Why? I think it is because we all naturally live under some measure of condemnation. The law of sin and death has held captive all of humanity in a cycle under which we find ourselves not only failing to keep the law, but consciously or unconsciously aware that therefore we must be, at least in some measure, condemned. Whether conscious of the Mosaic covenant or whether a people in some obscure part of the world never having heard of the law of God, all peoples in all places have had a sense that there must be some justice in the world. And justice requires that disobedience be punished and that obedience be rewarded. The covenant that was made in Exodus 19 through Moses was a covenant that makes sense to us. If you fully obey, then you will be fully blessed. And its corollary is if you do not fully obey, you will not be fully blessed. And to a greater or lesser extent, people live with some form of that inward condemnation over their lives. And every one of the Jews that would have been assembled in Jerusalem on Pentecost Day would have had it deeply rooted within them that we will be blessed inasmuch as we fully obey God. But what was happening in their midst was that the promise of the covenant and the blessing of the covenant expressed in the visual outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that this blessing was being manifest and poured out not upon just the righteous, not upon just the priests nor the prophets, but that the Holy Spirit was being poured out upon all who were gathered there. And as Peter saw this happening, I think his heart began to rejoice because having understood the gospel, he realized that the gospel's proclamation of the finished work of Jesus is the essential revelation for receiving the Holy Spirit. For every time that we go before God, if we carry with us even the slightest guilt of conscience or the slightest sense that we might stand condemned, then we are double-minded and we do not see God as one who is fully able to fully bless us because we know we have not been fully obedient. And when I pray for people, and it'd be the testimony of my own life as well, and I pray for people for continued infilling of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and when the presence of God draws near, the most usual response in the face of such holiness is, I am not worthy. And being aware of our unworthiness, we will either shrink away or we will draw near. And the drawing near to God, living the life of the Spirit, it is essential that we have a full revelation of just how free we are. We must understand what Peter was preaching and change our mind and come out from under the law of sin and death and instead see ourselves as though we have been sinners, as though we have stumbled, knowing that we're unworthy, that nonetheless that the covenant has been kept in Christ Jesus, that He, my representative, has been obedient to all of the law. He has fully obeyed the voice of God. And He, sinless though He was crucified, therefore taking upon Himself the fullness of the penalty for all of my sin, taking into His flesh, into His own being, condemnation for sin. That's what Paul is talking about in Romans. He says that for what the law, verse 3, was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, meaning my flesh can't keep the law, so it renders the law as impotent, even though the law was holy, just, and good. What the law couldn't do, God did. God did it. God did it. By sending His Son in the likeness of sinful man. He wasn't sinful, but He was man. So like the likeness of sinful man, to be a sin offering. And because He became the sin offering, He condemned sin in the flesh. He fully paid the price, so God's word is honored. If God said sin must be punished, then sin must be punished, and sin has been punished. And he continues that the righteous requirements of the law, the requirements of the law were righteous, that they might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sin nature, but according to the Spirit. What he's saying is that in Christ's work on the cross, the full payment for sin has taken place, so there need be no more punishment. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we pray today and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, we have no fear of condemnation because we're in Christ Jesus. There is no sense in which the person who's in Christ comes to the Father and the Father says, I'm only going to partially bless you because you still have a little sin left in your life. That's the old system of the law of sin and death, and we don't live under it anymore. Instead, what Paul's saying is that through the atoning work of Jesus, you have been reckoned as righteous. Now, you don't come before God and say, I deserve the Holy Spirit because I'm so good. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, I know I'm unworthy, but you have reckoned me as righteous. I didn't keep all the ten commandments in my own flesh, but Jesus did, and I'm in Christ. Therefore, I've kept the law.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series. I'm Daniel Britt here with Pastor Alan Wright. In these unprecedented days of challenge, the National Giving Tuesday organization has announced a special day for unity and giving across the nation. This Tuesday, May 5th, it's an opportunity to make a difference, an opportunity to experience the promise of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
Daniel, it is a chance to make a difference. And though these days are dark, this ministry is sharing the light of Christ with tens of thousands of people all over the nation, every day on the radio, internet, and in print. And there just, I think, has never been a more important time to share the gospel than now. We so appreciate your partnership.
The well-known National Giving Tuesday organization has announced a special day for unity and giving across the nation. This Tuesday, May 5th, to participate in Day of Giving, sharingthelight.org, or by calling right now, 877-544-4860, 877-544-4860, sharingthelight.org, or 877-544-4860. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
God has never been looking for a reason to withhold His blessing. He has always been seeking out the plan and pursuing it, even to the extent of sacrificing His only begotten Son, so that He could keep His word of the covenant, punish sin, and only bless the obedient. And the way He has done it surprised even the angels, that we could be so thoroughly baptized into Christ that we have been so placed in Him and He in us that we, being at one with Christ, have been crucified and raised with Him, and that we have therefore been given the position of righteousness, though we did not earn it. And so God is legally, by His own word, and for the whole justice of the cosmos, has no restraint against His own word, and there never has been a restraint against His own desire to pour out the Holy Spirit upon all who ask Him. Which is to say that the greater the revelation of the gospel, the less hindrance to receiving the fullness of God. And people have, over the centuries, talked about all the different prerequisites for receiving the continued infilling of the Holy Spirit, and we can turn even our pursuit of God into a work of the flesh. Let me see if I can make some of this very clear. I would define the law of sin and death as the inviolable principle wherein God, having promised blessing to the obedient and curse to the disobedient, is bound by His word to bring curse, or that is condemnation, upon the disobedient. And because all are disobedient, no matter how hard they try, condemnation, inward emptiness, and eventual death has fallen upon humanity. The law of sin and death. Which is to say that the law, which was good, holy, and just, revealed at the first Pentecost at Sinai, did not have within it the power to correct sin, but only to identify sin. And so where the law has come alongside of the sin nature, sin has only increased. It has been identified and it has been exacerbated, and sin has increased. And where sin has increased, the flesh seeks to deal with it. The sin nature tries to deal with sin and never succeeds. And so we are left with empty souls, and ultimately we are left hopeless. And where there is no hope, there is not only the deadness of the soul, but life grows dim. The law of sin and death can lead us to a deadness of soul in one of two directions. Seeing that I'm unable to keep the law, there can be one who decides to totally ignore the law with lawlessness, and this is the prodigal. One can say, I have tried. It's exhausting to continually find that I'm disappointing people. It's exhausting to have people looking down on me. It's exhausting to have this law hanging over me. And I can't do it. Why try? And it's a life of debauchery. And it leads to deadness. But there's another route, equally leads to deadness, in which the flesh, now not giving itself over to all its fleshly desires, tries to be lawful. Stay, do all the chores, the elder brother keeps all the rules. He says, I've been slaving for you all these years, and never enters into the celebration. Jesus spends a lot of His time speaking to these Pharisees. He says, you're just like the whitewashed tombs. You're like those tombstones that they painted white so they'd be beautiful, sparkling white right before Passover time when all the pilgrims are coming into Jerusalem so they can go by and see how beautiful they all look. He said, you're just like that. You look really good on the outside. You're, but on the inside, there's deadness there. Because the law and the process of the flesh trying to keep the law will only lead to deadness. And you can get there either way, but it's what the flesh will wind up with. Because we will not be able, this is what we've been saying in Romans 6 and 7, we will not be able by our flesh to keep the law. So you'll either end up in rebellion or religious hypocrisy. Praise be to God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has transcended, superseded, and replaced the law of sin and death. I would define it as the inviolable principle wherein God, through the cross, has fully punished disobedience. He's fully punished disobedience and reckoned the believer as fully righteous, and thus has made the believer a full heir, privileged to receive all the covenantal blessings of abundant life through the continued infilling of the Holy Spirit. Which is to say that the law of the Spirit of life doesn't start with the law, it starts with grace. And where there is grace, instead of the flesh being activated, it is the release of the Spirit. Because grace is where we're saying, I don't deserve, and I couldn't keep the law. And it's only by grace that I've been saved. And therefore, we are being moved by the Spirit, and what we're moved to, instead of our striving, is we submit. And when you submit your life to God and you present your body as a living sacrifice, that is what the Bible calls worship. And it is through the process of yielding to God that we are demonstrating that we have great trust in God. So it is in the end, it is our unbelief that hinders us from receiving the things of God. But it is our unbelief in the fullness and the magnificent sufficiency of how radical the gift is that's been given to us in Jesus. So the proclamation of the gospel and the intent of Peter on the day of Pentecost and the intent of Paul in Romans 5, 6, 7, 8 and the intent of my life is to so proclaim to you the gospel that your faith continually grows. And your faith is in no way in your own ability to be good, but what faith is in the magnificent awareness of what Jesus has done for you. And therefore, it is not a life, the life of the Spirit is not a life that leads either to rebellion or into religion. It is instead a life of yielding and receiving because you are heirs.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light and today's teaching, Life in the Spirit. I'm Daniel Britt here with Pastor Alan Wright. In these unprecedented days of challenge, the National Giving Tuesday organization has announced a special day for unity and giving across the nation. This Tuesday, May 5th, it's an opportunity to make a difference, an opportunity to experience the promise of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
Daniel, it is a chance to make a difference. And though these days are dark, this ministry is sharing the light of Christ with tens of thousands of people all over the nation. Every day on the radio, internet, and in print. And there just, I think, has never been a more important time to share the gospel than now. We so appreciate your partnership.
The well-known National Giving Tuesday organization has announced a special day for unity and giving across the nation. This Tuesday, May 5th. To participate in Day of Giving, sharingthelight.org or by calling right now 877-544-4860. 877-544-4860. Sharingthelight.org or 877-544-4860. So, Alan, after hearing today's message, and if sometimes maybe you feel like my faith has gone stagnant, okay? My faith is not growing. Even if I feel that it is in a stagnant situation, are you saying it's not because of the Holy Spirit? It's ever-changing, ever-growing?
Yeah. So much of the Christian life is simply put this way, Daniel. The abundant Christian life is not a desire to aspire towards. It is a reality to be adjusted to. It is the nature of who we are as God's adopted children. We are the recipients of His Holy Spirit. Every single Christian that's listening right now, you have received the Holy Spirit. And what God wants us to move from is a mentality that you might think of as the law of sin and death, where there's law, sin, emptiness, hopelessness, and deadness of the soul, that instead the law of the Spirit of life is grace and submission because we trust, which then is our worship and our faith, so that we are ever increasingly being able to be yielded to God's Spirit. And so even if you don't feel like it today, if you've accepted Christ, this is the reality of who you are. So let your heart and your mind meditate on who you actually are in Christ.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.